realize what God has saved us from, we ought to get excited about that. And if you haven't been saved from anything, then just sit there. But man, when you've been saved as God has saved us, it just does something inside of us. And we praise Him for that. Let's pray together. Father, we give You praise this morning for the salvation that is ours because of Your Son, Jesus. Father, thank You for reaching down when we were just crippled by sin. And Father, You lifted us up out of the sin, and Lord, You set us free. And for that, we give You praise. We give You honor. We give You worship today. And Father, we pray for those who are in this place today who do not know You as Lord and Savior of their life. Father, for those who have not yet been set free, for those who haven't experienced life eternal, God, we pray today for the drawing of Your Holy Spirit. Lord, move in this place as You desire, and we give You all praise and honor. It's in Jesus' name we ask these things, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. I'm excited that you're with us today as we worship the risen Lord. I believe that today will be a day that will significantly change so many lives as we talk about how God helps us to win over temptation. One of the truths that we're going to discover this morning is that our God is faithful. Everyone say, God is faithful. Church, no matter where you feel trapped, it could be something big that you've never told anyone about. It could be something that everyone knows and it's just annoying you. But the truth is that God always gives us a way out. My guess is some of you this morning, you're here and there's something in your life that is consistently there that should not be there. I don't know what that might look like for you. It might be an alcohol problem. It might be a problem with tobacco or prescription drugs. It could be something that you just lie all the time and for no reason. You don't even know why. But you tell one lie to cover up a previous lie, and before long you can't even distinguish between what is the truth and what is not. Some of us struggle with eating issues. You eat and you eat and you struggle to find balance. You don't have to look beyond three or four people around you to find someone who's struggling with a sexual addiction. Statistics indicate that the number of people who struggle with pornography, even in the church, is staggering. There are people all over the world who are looking at things they shouldn't be looking at, and then they act out something they should have never seen in the first place. For others, it might be that your spending is out of control. You're in massive debt, and for whatever reason, you just keep buying more and more. You know you should stop, but you can't. You just continue to spend. You go online, you think that maybe it's a gambling addiction, and you go online, you think, well, I'm good at this, and I'm going to try this, and you lose, and then you lose some more, and all of a sudden, you can't seem to get out. You try to gamble your way out, but you just find yourself getting deeper into trouble. As innocent as it may seem, some of you like your smartphone way too much. You can't even have a face-to-face conversation with another person without pulling out your phone and checking to make sure that you didn't miss anything. Some of you, the first thing you do when you get up in the morning or the last thing you do at night is check social media to see what you might have missed. I don't know what it may be for you, but I'm certain that every one of us has something that should not be in our lives. And I want God's word to speak directly to this issue in our lives. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. 1 Corinthians 10, 12 through 13. Paul said, if you think you're standing firm, be careful that you do not fall. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. Here's the good news. It says that God is what? Everybody say it out loud. Our God is faithful. How faithful is He? He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. When you are tempted, and you will be, what will our God do? He will also provide a way out so you can endure it. What I hope you understand today is that every time the enemy places a temptation before you, God always provides a way out. Every single time you're tempted to do something that would be harmful to you, harmful to others, anytime you're tempted to do something that will hurt the heart of God, friend, there is always, always a way out. God always provides a way of escape. Let me give you a definition for temptation. There are many definitions that we could use, but this is the one we're going to work with. It is this: temptation is anything that promises satisfaction at the cost of obedience to God. Temptation is anything that promises satisfaction at the cost of obedience to God. Anything that says, oh, you're going to like this, or this is going to feel good, or this is going to make life more meaningful. Anything that promises satisfaction at the cost of our obedience to God is temptation. Scientists have discovered that when you give in to temptation, your brain releases a chemical called dopamine. So you give in to temptation, the release of dopamine gives you a hit, it kind of gives you a thrill, a buzz. You want something, and so you make the purchase. You look at something, and you know that you shouldn't look at it, but you want to look at something, so you take a look. You want to say it because it's going to make you feel good, so you say it. And so when you give in to temptation, your brain releases a little bit of dopamine, and you experience the thrill, this high. And you have this brief moment when you're satisfied. But that high is quickly replaced with a thought. And the thought goes something like this: I shouldn't have done that. I know that was wrong. And now I feel bad. And all of a sudden we begin to be gripped with regret and guilt and shame. And we get overwhelmed. And many of you know this cycle all too well. What is temptation? It's anything that promises satisfaction at the cost of obedience to God. Let me share with you four truths about temptation. Truth number one is that it is not a sin to be tempted. You need to know that. It is not a sin to be tempted. Hebrews 4:15 says, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, but who did not what? But who did not sin." Jesus was tempted just like we are. And yet he was without sin. Being tempted is not the same as committing sin. It's important that you understand that, because our spiritual enemy will make you feel false guilt. He'll make you feel guilty about things that you should not feel guilty about. Let me give you an example. Eating a donut is not a sin, right?
Amen.
We're on the same page there. It's not a sin to eat a donut. But let's say that you're learning to eat healthy and it's something that God's convicted you about, and you said, you know, I'm going to try to stay away from the donuts. So you walk into work tomorrow morning and there are a dozen chocolate frosted donuts on the table, all right? And you walk by and they start calling out to you, right? Eat me, eat me. I'm chocolate on top. You know that you want to take a bite of this donut, and you say, well, I really want one of those donuts, but you decide to walk on by. You didn't commit a sin. Were you tempted? Yes. But you didn't sin. If you pick up a chocolate donut and you smell it, is that a sin? You may be getting a little technical on me. I don't know about that. I do know this. If you lick the chocolate off the top and you put it back in the box, that's a sin. You probably crossed the line. But if you were to walk on by without eating a donut, then you didn't sin. Ladies, let's suppose you're driving down the road and you see a guy and he's cutting the grass and he doesn't have his shirt on, or he's jogging and you see this guy, or guys, you see go-go pants girl and she's shaking it down the sidewalk while you're driving by. Now, if your thought is this, I better turn this car around and I better make sure she makes it across the road safely, that's sin. That's taking it a little too far. But if you're just driving and you see an attractive person, but you just keep on driving down the road and your thoughts remain pure, then you didn't sin. Were you tempted? Yes. But you didn't give in. You have to realize that being tempted is not a sin. What our spiritual enemy wants to do is he wants us to feel false guilt. He wants us to think we did wrong, because when we feel guilty, we tend to medicate our guilt with sin. In other words, when we feel bad, we justify our sin. And we start thinking things like, well, I might as well sin some more. I talked with a guy years ago. He was trying to overcome an addiction with pornography. And I agreed to counsel with him. And he called me one morning and he said, Pastor, he said, I am so sorry. And I said, well, what happened? And he said, well, I was traveling by myself and I was watching television and I was looking at the list of movies that were available. And he said, I came across the bad movies. And he said, I feel so bad. He said, I almost watched. I said, wait a minute. Did you watch or not? He said, no, but I feel so bad. And I said, let me get this straight. You were alone And he said, "That's right." And I said, "You could have watched and no one would have known but you and God." And he said, "Yeah, that's correct." I said, "But you didn't watch." And he said, "Nope." So I told him, "You experienced a narrow victory." He should have never been looking at the list of movies in the first place. But he did not sin. He did not cave in to temptation. It is not a sin to be tempted. And I would suggest that you don't go to Red's Donuts if you're trying to avoid eating donuts. I would suggest that you don't look at the movie list if you struggle with that. But just because you're tempted to sin doesn't mean that you've sinned. Friend, don't let false guilt bring something on you that should not be there. It is not a sin to be tempted. The second truth is this, that you are never above temptation. You are never above temptation. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you think about yourself. You are never above temptation. 1 Corinthians 10:12 warns, "If you think you're standing firm, be careful that you do not fall." Let me just get up in your business for a moment. If you think, "I'm so glad that so-and-so is here today because they need this message," then maybe you need this message, because none of us are above temptation. If you think, "This is not for me because I'm above this or I would never do that," friend, you are skating on thin ice. Our spiritual enemy comes at us at our weaknesses, and he will come at you at your strengths. How often do you see the great Family Guy, a guy who loves his family? How many times have you seen this guy do something stupid and he destroys his marriage and his family? What happened? He was overconfident in his strengths. Whenever you see a doctor who understands medicine, a doctor who cares about people, but somehow that doctor gets hooked on prescription medicine, what happened? He or she overestimated her strengths. Friend, you can mark my words, the enemy will come at you at your weaknesses, and he will come at you at your strengths. Friend, please don't ever think you are above temptation. I've counseled with people who've said to me, "Pastor, I would never fall to this. Pastor, I would never fall victim to that." You know what I've learned? Those are the folks who often fall the fastest and the hardest. It's those who think they're above temptation. So church, we need to guard against self-confidence, because the scripture declares that our heart is deceitful above all things. The truth is that we never know when and where we're going to be vulnerable. We have no idea what we're capable of. In fact, I believe that given the right environment, I believe every single one of us is capable of the grossest sin. We are not above temptation. Truth number three is that God will never tempt you. I've heard people say, "Pastor, God is tempting me." No, that's not God. God will test you, yes, but he will not tempt you, and there is a difference between the two. Why do you test someone? If we asked our students about the purpose of exams, they would tell us that the reason they're tested in school is so that they can be promoted, so that they can advance. We are tested so that we can move forward. Friend, God will test you, but he will never tempt you. God tests you to move you forward. It has been said that without tests, there is no testimony. But Satan, on the other hand, Satan tempts you to move you backwards. God is not going to put a temptation to sin in front of you, but God will test you. And the question is, are you going to be obedient to the Lord's commands? Are you going to be faithful to him? Those are tests from God, not a temptation. James said it this way in James 1:13. He said, "Remember when you're being tempted, do not say, 'God is tempting me.'" Church, God has never tempted anyone to do wrong. So where does temptation come from? Temptation comes from our own desire. Each one of us, we are bent away from God. We are all bent towards sin. How many parents have had to teach their two-year-old how to be selfish? Any parents sit down with your kids and say, "Okay, here's what we want to do. I want you to take this toy. I'm going to take it away from you, and I want you to scream 'mine' over and over again." We don't have to teach our kids that. They just pick that up. That's just the way that we're bent. We're bent that way towards selfishness. By nature, we're not good people. So temptation comes from our own desires, which entice us and give birth to sinful actions. The Bible teaches that when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. You ask any married couple who let sin in the door. You ask them, where did sin lead you? And they will tell you that sin never makes life better. Sin never makes life better. It always destroys. Sin promises satisfaction, but it costs obedience to God. Sin screams, this is going to be fun. This is going to make you feel special. And you might experience a buzz or a high for a fleeting moment, but it unravels very quickly. Sin leads to death and destruction every single time. Friends, sin will always take you farther than you plan to go, and it will always cost you more than you plan to pay. And we have an entire generation of people today who are giving in to temptation. And they rationalize sin and they say, it's okay. This is just the way that God made me. This is just who I am. God made me this way. Folks, God is righteous. And through the power of Christ, he calls us to follow him, not by our own power, but he leads us into righteousness by his power. And you can be certain that God will never tempt you. In fact, I want you to write this down. This is powerful. Every temptation is an invitation to depend on Christ. Every temptation is an invitation to depend on Christ. When you're tempted, God is faithful, and he will always give you a way out. Every time you're tempted to do something that is disobedient to God, it is an invitation for you to depend more fully on Christ. God tests us because he wants to see if we'll be obedient. But he does not tempt us. Satan, on the other hand, he tempts us through our own evil desires. So friend, if you don't think you're vulnerable to his attacks, then you are more vulnerable than you know. We've learned it's not a sin to be tempted. You and I are never above temptation. God will never tempt you. And truth number four, as you face temptation, I want you to remember that there is always a way out. No matter what you're facing, no matter what sin has you held hostage, no matter what small, annoying thing has you firmly in its grips, there is always a way out. I would encourage you this week to memorize 1 Corinthians 10:13. It is a verse that will help you overcome temptation. It says, our God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear, but when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. You say, Jason, what would your way out be? Well, I'm not sure, but I can tell you this, God has a way out for you. It may be that your way out involves confessing your sin. Proverbs 28:13 says, whoever conceals his sin does not prosper, but whoever confesses and renounces them finds mercy. We confess our sin to God so that we can experience his forgiveness. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Throughout the New Testament, we're instructed to seek out other Christians for the purpose of accountability. We're encouraged to share with one another and to pray for each other. That's one of the reasons why I believe small groups are so powerful. Friend, we do not have to battle sin alone. But in the church, we're part of a community with other people, people who are caring and praying for one another. It might be that you take a risk today. And it might be that you say to someone, I'm going to tell you something that I've never told anyone before. I need help. I don't want to be like this anymore. Church, admitting you have a need is a critical step because revealing opens the door to healing. And for some of you, your way out might involve therapy. It might involve rehab. Your problem might run deep. You've tried to overcome it and you're getting nowhere on your own. You might need some deep help. You might need some detox. You might need to distance yourself from something or from someone. For some of you, it's accountability that will provide your way out from temptation. You need someone who will love you, someone who will get in your face and ask you the hard questions. For others, it may be repentance. Repentance is basically saying, God, I'm sorry, and I need your help. God, I need your grace and your strength so that I don't fall again to this sin. Listen, whatever it is, our God is faithful, and there is always a way out. How many of you remember the old days when the video games were good? I remember those, Pac-Man and Frogger and Asteroids and Centipede, all of those games. It's almost embarrassing how bad some of the graphics were on those games that we used to play. Asteroids, when had the different shapes, that's how sophisticated the graphics were. But in Asteroids, you had a triangle that was your spaceship. And you had these other buttons, other shapes rather, and these asteroids, they came toward you, and you would shoot the little shapes. And you had a thrust button, and you'd push that button, and it would take your ship and just kind of sort of float around. And whenever you got in trouble, and when there were a couple asteroids coming at you, there was a button in the middle. The button was called hyperspace, and you push that button, and all of a sudden your ship would just sort of disappear, and then it would reappear somewhere on the screen in another place. I want to tell you that in the kingdom of God, there is another button. And it's not called hyperspace, it's called hypergrace. And folks, let me tell you what happens. When you're tempted and you're in trouble, hit the button. Hit the button. When you show up at work and the donuts are on the table, hit the button and walk your tail away from the temptation. When you're driving by the jogger and you want to take another look, hit the button and look the other way. When your boyfriend is trying to get you in the back seat of the car, hit the button. And if you had to, hit him as well. But get away from the temptation. Friend, when temptation presents itself, and it will, remember there is always a way out. Our God is so good that he always gives us a way out. Every temptation is an invitation to depend on Christ. God will always provide you a way out. And if you fall, he will pick you up and he will give you a way out again. Folks, I realize that there are things in my life that I cannot overcome by myself. I acknowledge there are some things that I'm always going to be vulnerable to. There are things that I always need Jesus to help me overcome. And here is what you need to hear today. Christ in you, not you in you, because you in you is going to get your butt kicked. But Christ in you is stronger than the wrong desire in you. Christ in you is stronger than the wrong desire in you. Scripture says, greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world. So what is temptation? Temptation is anything that promises satisfaction at the cost of obedience to God. And when we're weak, we're vulnerable to give in to temptation. But the good news is that when we're weak, that is when God's strength is made perfect in us. And church, that is why I believe every temptation is an invitation to depend on Christ. Christ in you is more powerful than any wrong desire in you. And every time you're tempted, God is inviting you to trust in Jesus, who will set you free. The good news is this: our God is faithful. And friend, he is so good. And when you're tempted, he will always give you a way out. And that way out is through his Son, Jesus Christ. It is by the grace of Jesus that we can be set free. If we were honest today, some of us have some dark secrets. There are things going on in your life that no one else knows. Your spouse may not know some of the dark secrets in your life. Maybe you're covering for somebody else and you've kept it a well-guarded secret. But friend, God has brought you here today to tell you this, that he loves you and that he's faithful. And friend, even when you're faithless, God is faithful. And he will always give you a way out. There is a way out that is going to help you, even though you may be held hostage. There is a way out, and that is through God's Son, Jesus. Maybe there's something big that you need help to overcome. There might be something you consider small, but you're sick of it dominating you. Friend, why not surrender it to Jesus today? Why not let his power in you be stronger than the wrong desire in you? I urge you this morning, in this moment, to get real before God. Listen, you're only as strong as you are honest. So would you say to God this morning, God, I come before you asking for your help. God, I don't want anything in my life that will be dishonoring to you. God, I don't want anything that is going to be destructive or hurtful to others. God, I ask that the power of Christ, the risen Christ that dwells within me, I pray that your power in me will be stronger than the wrong desires in my life. Friend, will you call upon the Lord? Would you ask him to supernaturally set you free from that which has held you hostage for years? For most of you, this being set free, it involves a process. It is a process that begins right now. It is a process that will continue over a period of time. The truth is that you will experience seasons of victory, sprinkled with periods of defeat. But my prayer is this, that you'll keep running back to God. I hope you realize that every temptation you encounter is an invitation to depend more fully on Jesus. Would you ask the Lord to begin His work in you to set you free? Would you ask Him for strength and courage to deal with the temptation that is before you? Friend, aren't you tired of the guilt and the shame and the regret? Some of you today are experiencing this incredible weight. You feel this immense sense of guilt that is weighing down on you. And you might be thinking, I've messed up. I've done wrong. And I'm not worthy of God's love because of my sin. I needed to get my life right and I needed to do better. But what I didn't understand was that God wanted me to come just as I was. Friend, that's why God sent His Son Jesus. The Bible teaches that Jesus was tempted in every way that we are, and yet He never sinned. And that's why Jesus is the perfect sacrifice for the forgiveness of our sins. Through His death and resurrection, when you turn from sin and you place your life under Jesus' management, He forgives your sin. He separates them as far as the east is from the west as you become new in Christ. And would you just say to God today, yes, Lord, I need Your forgiveness. God, I'm ready to turn my life over to You. I'm sorry that I've sinned against You. Today, I want to receive Your salvation by faith. Friend, I believe Jesus is enough. And I pray that you will surrender your life to Him. I pray that you will come just as you are. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank You for Your grace and Your mercy. And Father, for always providing a way out when we deal with temptation. God, there's not a single person sitting in this room who doesn't deal with temptation on an ongoing basis. The enemy attacks us at our points of strength, and he attacks at our weaknesses. And Father, we just acknowledge that we need You. That Father, as we remain alert and on guard, we need the tools that You've given us. We need the spiritual armor that You provided. We need the people that You surround us with. And Father, we need the power of Christ that dwells within us, that we might say yes to You and no to temptation. Father, I pray for those who are struggling this morning. God, for those who are dealing with guilt and regret and shame. Father, I pray this morning that guilt would be replaced with grace and shame would be replaced with salvation. That, Father, we would realize that as we turn to You, as we turn away from sin and we place all of our confidence in Your Son Jesus, and we surrender our life fully to You, that, Father, we experience life eternal. We get a brand new start. We become a new creation in Christ Jesus. And God, I pray that in this place today, there will be many who will become that new creation, who will get that fresh start. Father, we just invite You to do what You desire in our lives and in Your church. It's Christ's name that we ask these things. Amen.